Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our first reading from Acts chapter 1, where the disciples asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And today we talk about restoring the kingdom. Dear friends in Christ, there was a car show yesterday in Clarinda with cars, all sorts of beautiful cars, some from the early 1900s all the way up to, looks like, some pretty current sports cars. All sorts of vehicles, though, in all their glory. And particularly with the older cars, you could tell that they'd done a lot of work to take a car that, some of them near a century old, and yet they could restore them. They could make them look like they were new, and some of them better than they looked when they were new. And a lot of work went into that. But a question comes to mind. As you see this gorgeous older car, might come in and say, why restore that car? And the question is, do you want a car that reminds you of how gorgeous it was used to be? Or do you want a car you can use now? Do you want a museum? Do you want to drive a museum? Or do you want to drive a car? And that question comes to mind as we consider our text here, as we celebrate the Ascension. As Jesus teaches them, the disciples ask Jesus if he's now going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And we wonder as we hear this. Are they thinking about a museum or their car? A car. What are they thinking about? We wonder if they've learned anything. Are they hoping for armies and palaces? Are they hoping for David on his throne? What do they think the kingdom actually looks like that they want restored to Israel? Jesus has been teaching them about the kingdom of God, and we know some of what he taught about mustard seeds, about leaven. And if he's been teaching them even for 40 days, are they really going back to a sword instead to the kingdoms of the world? Are they going back to old days, trading the glory that Jesus taught them for political kingdoms? And if we think that, we might feel pretty superior. We might think, well, I know better. In fact, it might be that if we think they're talking about political kingdoms and they're just confused, it might be we've spent too long in museums, looking at how quaint other people have been and what they believed in the past, and how we know better now and feeling superior. Too often, in our superiority that we know better about the kingdom, we don't actually teach about the kingdom at all. And we seem to say it's just kind of like life. See, the disciples are right in this. Jesus did come to restore the kingdom. But not as a museum, not as one made in the form of the kingdoms of the world that we're used to. But he restores a kingdom in which we're to live as his people. As he says through Peter, "For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says that we are a nation, a kingdom, and that's what he came that we would be. The kingdom is restored, and the disciples are right to look to see it restored. They're seeing what God's doing. And Jesus confirms this as a response to them. He tells them it might not be for them to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set. But they don't need to worry that they don't know the times or the seasons, because God's going to empower them. He's going to empower them as he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that kingdom will be restored because they will be his witnesses. And it won't just be for Israel, the land of Israel. It may start in Jerusalem and Judea, but it's not just for Jerusalem and Judea. It's for Samaria and even to the ends of the world. If the disciples have a fault with their kingdom, it's not that they're thinking that the kingdom comes wrongly. It's that they're thinking too small for what the kingdom looks like. That his kingdom is not just a kingdom for the Jews, but for all true Israel, for all people and tribe and nations. All those the Lord has called through his death, through his resurrection, through his forgiveness, and through his ascension. And God's kingdom comes. And if the disciples' vision was a little small, how small our vision often is. How often it doesn't extend even to our nation or to our town or even to our church, but perhaps even just to our own family, such that we say, well, I'll take care of my own and everyone else can take care of their own and we'll be okay. That doing more in the community, in the nation, well, that's kind of a scary place, and I'll just take care of my own. And yet Jesus said, not just in Jerusalem or Judea, but to Samaria and the ends of the world. We might not even look as far as our family. We might just be looking even just to ourselves. That as long as I go to church, as long as I read my, or even if I don't go to church, if I read my Bible, as long as I hear the word, as long as I make sure I say a prayer before meals, I'm okay. Might not even need to speak to family or a roommate or a coworker about God and what he's done and the restoration and the forgiveness that he offers in Christ. Because I'm okay. We might even say something like, I hope that there's still a church for me to be buried in. And that's our definition of okay. Well, that's not the kingdom that God proclaims. That's not the kingdom that Jesus restores. God's kingdom extends beyond us to the ends of the world. And it's not just a place to be buried, but it is a place for people to live in. And Jesus didn't come to die just for me, or just for my family, or even just for the people here in this church. He came to die for all people, to forgive all the sins of the world. And he gives his power and his Spirit so that we can be the witness to the kingdom, not just to ourselves, not just to our family, not just even here in church, but again, to Judea, beyond Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the world, to witness to the kingdom in every place where we are. I visited with a woman who had some disabilities. She was hardly able to talk. She'd had a tracheotomy. She'd been bedridden. She was doing a little better at various times, but she'd been bedridden. And yet, as I talked, as she managed to communicate through a tube, she talked about how God was still present in her life. And how she made sure that she could proclaim to the people who cared for her then, and how even after she'd been somewhat disabled, even after she'd been bedridden for a year, when she got up, she made sure she went to VBS. And she taught there and helped the kids as far as she could. Not because she was healthy, but because of the message that God was sending, that he was restoring the kingdom through that word. And remembering that shames me. Because so often I think the kingdom starts and ends with me, and that I'm tired and maybe I'm not interested in going to, say, VBS this coming week. And I'm falling into the same trap that my vision of the kingdom is way too small. And that God proclaims a bigger one. This lady didn't, and she didn't worry about her injuries or how tired it would make her. She saw that God had called her to be his witness. She saw that God's kingdom extended beyond her. And she was a witness in every place that God put her. Jesus rises. He ascends. He does it not to take the kingdom and put it beyond us, but instead to let it may extend, that he can advocate with the Father for us, that he would send the Spirit, that his power would come, that we wouldn't concentrate on just those that we say, these are the ones gathered around Jesus. But instead, we'd look where he sent us. He doesn't want us to focus on where his presence is, his bodily presence, but instead, where his presence is in the word that proclaims his kingdom. He wants to concentrate on the work that is proclaimed, the forgiveness that we have in him, the life that we have that he brings, that we still have as he's present with us in word, that we still have as he's present with us in sacrament, that we still have as he's with us always, even into the end of the age. As he spoke to them, after he spoke to them, when he gathered, he ascended and a cloud hid him from their sight. And as they were looking up into heaven, as they were still focusing on the one, on the body that had left their sight. Don't want to say left completely because Christ is still with them, but he had left their sight. The two men appeared, the two angels appeared and spoke. Why are you looking up? It reminded them that it wasn't up to them to go ahead and guarantee he'd return and that they don't need to cling to what they'd seen, to the seeing him. Instead, they could cling to his words, which had told them to remain in Jerusalem until they received power and then to be witnesses. Don't look to him in a bodily form, but look to what he'd said, because he's present there, and looking to that, to his word. They returned to Jerusalem with joy, as it said in the gospel reading. We have a 150th anniversary this year. It is a chance to remember what God has done. But let us not make it into a museum. Christ's words to the disciples apply to us as well. God has given the same news for more than 150 years to the people here. That in Christ their sins are forgiven. In Christ, in His resurrection, we have life. That He has ascended to the Father, that we too will be with the Father. That is the message that He has given. And the one that He has sent people 150 years ago to spread here, and today to still spread here. The same message. And here, as in church, surely, where His word is preached, but here also, as in Clarinda and Page County, and our nation and our world. And rather than rejoicing over what He's done in the past, let us rejoice what He is still doing today. That Christ has built a church. That Christ is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Messiah. The Christ who the gates of hell do not stand against, nor against His church. Let it be proclaimed. And let us be witnesses to what God has done. So yes, look up. Hear the word and receive the sacraments. Surely do that. For Christ is with us. But don't just look up, also look out. Because He has sent us out. Be His witnesses. In Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world, and all these corners, even of Page County. For Christ has ascended, that His word may be preached throughout the world. Amen.